bedroom. Nice to have you company once again. Doing the chatting, Philip Jensen. Philip, welcome.
Hello, Gil.
And the topic we're going to chat about today is the topic of fatherhood. Now, it's a topic that a lot of fathers actually feel a bit uncomfortable with. We sort of think, oh, I look back at being a father and I wish I'd done better. It's very easy to feel guilty, isn't it, about
how... Well, most fathers are husbands and most husbands are in the wrong, so of course you feel bad.
Yes.
Goes with the territory.
Yes. So...
But seriously...
Even without a finger being pointed, we've sometimes thought, I could have done better. So what is it? Let's...
Well, but seriously, fathers have taken a terrible beating of recent times, haven't
they? Yes,
It's always the father's fault. And that just, you know... Back in the 50s, there used to be a TV show, wasn't it, Father Knows Best?
Yeah.
Which really was that he didn't.
That's right. In all of those 50s TV shows, I remember the father was an idiot.
Yes, that's right.
That was the premise of the whole program.
That's right. What was it, Leave It to Beaver or some show like that?
That's right. And the dad never knew.
That's right. And the later shows where the child gets left behind, you know...
Left Home Alone, Home Father Alone. Forgot the Child, all that sort of thing, Okay. So we won't feel too guilty. Let's talk about what fatherhood really is and what it should be. For a start, what's a father? What's a dad?
Well, in one sense, it's got to do with procreation. It's got to do with having children. But more importantly, you can father without having had children. It's got to do with a relationship. Now, the natural relationship of procreation is in some ways the easiest one, but sometimes there are really good fathers who it's not their own child. Sometimes there are people who actually have fathered the child, really rotten in fathering. So fathering has got to do with a relationship to start with. Now, what's the relationship about? Humans take a long time to develop from being a, you know, a little dependent child.
Totally helpless.
Completely. Yep. I just brought a couple of grandchildren home from hospital recently, and it is total dependence. There's nothing. They can't even hold up their head properly.
Yes.
Until you kind of get the turnover where they leave home fully independent.
Yes.
To return a few years later, I may say, but fully independent.
Right? Yes.
Now, that's a 20-year journey.
Yep.
And if you've got three or four kids who are spread apart for a few years, it's the bulk of your adult life, you know, from whenever you have your children, 25 to 30 or whatever it is, till you're 50, you are fathering.
So is the father relationship the one that helps that process, that helps the growing, that helps the...
Well, it's not alone, of course.
No,
it's best with mothers.
Yep.
Though mothers and fathers do slightly different roles and tasks in life. We don't like thinking of that. We just like talking about parenting. But the role and relationship of the children to the father is always different to the children to the mother, partly because they're two different human beings. But yet it follows a pattern too. Fathers, according to the Bible, there are four things that fathers do. It's not as if I can tell you a verse that says this, but if you go through the Bible and look what fathers do in the Bible, they discipline their children, they teach their children, they provide for their children, and they protect their children.
Right, right.
Now, discipline is a, I don't know what... There might be a better word. In our English word these days, discipline always seems to be negative, you know, punish.
Yep.
Punishing is an element of discipline, but a bad element of discipline. Disciplining is more straightening the way in which you should go.
Drawing the lines.
Drawing the lines, drawing the boundaries, saying, that's right, that's wrong, this is the way, and therefore it's closely connected to teaching.
So often it won't be reprimanding a child. It'll be sitting down saying, we don't like it if you do that.
Yep.
It's dangerous, and I'll tell you why.
But sometimes with a three-year-old, you don't sit down and negotiate. You just put a fence there.
Yes.
So don't cross that fence.
Yes.
Sometimes it's the voice which is the fence.
Right.
That you actually have to call out to the child as it runs towards the road to stop in such a tone of voice that it stops. But it's... And so discipline, in some ways, affects all of them.
Yes.
Because you can discipline by teaching, and you also discipline by protecting.
Right, so it's all of those things. Okay,
it's
discipline. It's teaching.
But it's teaching because the child will learn from the father in particular the way to live. The father sets the parameters of life in general.
We teach by what we do.
By what we do, by what we say, by the priority we give to things. I mean, if you're in a family that's a mad green cricket family, the children will, by and large, grow up loving cricket. If you're a soccer family, they'll love soccer. It's not the father sit down and say, now you've got to love cricket, because it's just, that's what life is.
And if they see Dad reading books a lot, they'll think reading books is a good thing to do.
That's right.
Yep.
And dads can't actually kind of disown their responsibility for teaching.
Yep.
You know, they will teach. That's what happens. I mean, my father was a mad keen golfer and part of my childhood, and so I learned how to play golf. But he taught me to play golf.
Yes.
He taught me to love the game. He taught me to appreciate the game, to be frustrated by the game, to play. But you know, he taught me, you know, it's golf after all.
But it's true. Whatever our dad tends to be interested in, we become enthusiastic in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Especially that kind of age, I don't know where he's 5 to 12, where they just walk around imitating dad.
Yes. Just a few feet behind you.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case. And we feel conscious because they tend to pick our worst habits. You know, the bit that we wouldn't want them to learn, they pick up on. But they talk like dad, they walk like dad, they... Now, daughters have a different relationship to dad. It's got to do with much more, this is her ideal man. All men are judged in some ways in over against or just like dad.
Yeah.
And so... Dad's important to both sons and daughters, slightly differently how they are, but they teach them what the world's about.
Okay, discipline, teach, provide for.
They provide. Dads are providers. It's their task. You bring a child into the world, it's your responsibility until the child can provide for itself, to provide for that child. That's why dads wind up doing a lot of the work. There's a lot of this business about, you know, men don't do, the fathers and the men don't do as much as the women. They do. They just do different. It may be different chores around the house in terms of, you know, stereotypically gardening as opposed to mowing the grass, or so I say, in the heavy garden, as opposed to sweeping inside. But when you take into account the amount of hours they put into the labour force for the sake of money, when you take in... They do the same amount. They just do different work than their wives do. On average, I mean, every family is different. One of the problems of all generalisations in this area is people pop and say, oh, not in my family. You know, across the board.
There is a pattern.
There is a pattern. And the pattern is that men and women do the same amount of work for their families in different ways. And one of the chief ways men do is the providing work. And when men leave families, divorce, etc., you find that it's the deserted wife who is the most financially impoverished.
Yes, it's always financially disastrous for the family.
Always, always disastrous for the family when dad loses.
Okay. Discipline, teach, provide for, and protect.
Protect, yes. The dad's a protector, and should be. It's a man role. It's interesting, down at the Port Arthur Massacre, which I saw a month or so later, they had the picture on the front page of the newspaper of all the different people who had died and how and where they were when they died, etc. Time after time, it was man protecting women or children.
Yep.
And the only one that was different was the mother who was protecting her little children, and there was no man around.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. But there is this instinctive, intuitive, whatever it might be.
Bikes actually don't even think about it, they just do it.
They just do it.
I mean, I seem to remember you rocketing down a flight of stairs and breaking an arm or a leg
I broke my ankle to protect a daughter. Yes. Ran around and broke an ankle for 5 minutes trying to catch a peeping Tom.
Yes.
Well, no chance at all. And if he had a gun or anything, I wouldn't be here to tell you the story. I mean, it's one of those ones that afterwards you're so glad you didn't catch.
That's right, that's right. Afterwards there's a great sense of relief.
Testosterone and adrenaline just takes over.
You don't think. When our son was very tiny, he insisted at a reptile park, walking along the top of the enclosure, and fell in. And I just jumped in and got him out without thinking it. And afterwards, my wife said, there might have been snakes in there. I looked, it was tortoises, it was all right. but you didn't think. You don't stop to think.
No.
Yeah. The brain doesn't work at all.
That's right. You don't say, I wonder if those tortoises could eat. I wonder how fast they travel.
You don't even look to see what's there.
No. Just a move. Now, in one sense, any adult do it. I mean, you wouldn't run across a mother. You know, a mother bear is a very dangerous creature. But when the whole family's there, man will do the protecting. Yep. And should do the protecting. It's his role. He's the one who should lay down his life and die.
That's the role. But fatherhood goes wrong. In a fallen, sinful world, fatherhood goes wrong.
Yeah.
In what ways does it go wrong?
Well, firstly, some of us are just bad. I don't mean bad in fathering. That's not the case. It's that we're sinful. We rebelled against God and we choose to do things our own way. And as sinful men, we really hurt the people around about us, the people who are closest to us, the children that we should be loving, caring, providing, protecting. They're the very ones we hurt the most. Sometimes it's the structure of it. You know, there's, again, a pattern. There are individual differences, but as a pattern, de facto stepdads are really dangerous to children.
Right.
Now, it's one of our problems in the media. You're not allowed to say this. It's a bit politically incorrect. But when a child gets interfered with, you know, the father. But
in fact, it's a stepfather a lot.
It's a stepfather very often. And it's very often a de facto stepfather.
Yes.
It's, you know, the man number five that's been through the household before. And now, not all stepfathers are bad. That's not the case.
Right.
But there is a tendency, proportionally, it's way out of proportion, the number of stepfathers who are involved in interfering with children, bashing children, sometimes killing children. It's really sad.
Talking about things that are politically correct, is there pressure in our society that can take away a father's authority?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, authority is totally misunderstood in our society. Well, not totally, because we do the right thing, but when discussion happens, it's misunderstood. For most of our Western secular society, authority equals power.
Right.
Whereas within the Bible, authority equals responsibility. It's a very different concept.
Yes, I will take responsibility for this.
Yes. Whereas, now, you need power to exercise authority, you need power to take responsibility, but power is not the essence of authority. And so when we give people authority, they take unto themselves power. And so when you talk about fathers having authority, the secularist mindset hears you saying fathers have power. And then when you start talking about fathers have power to bash and to hit and to, add that in the little word discipline in, and you're thinking of, and it's all negative and bad. Whereas when you say the father has authority because he has the responsibility to provide for his children, look after, that's his response. He has the responsibility to teach them. He has the response. And you can't duck that responsibility.
So when in this political mix, this cultural mix, do we end up with the snags, the sensitive New Age guys who don't want to discipline, who want to be soft and gentle, or, I don't know, something like that?
Yeah, soft and gentle is good, but discipline is also good.
Right.
And firmness, strength, courage.
Right.
There are all kinds of virtues we need to teach and to show, to demonstrate.
And they're virtues that are not popular?
No.
Yeah.
No. But we need them. I mean, duty. Duty is a
word. I don't feel like doing this, I'm going to do it, it's my duty. That's a model for my son.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But as a concept, I think duty has kind of just fallen by the wayside. People do not act on duty, especially when it's unpleasant and unpalatable duty. But not to do your duty, the children will learn not to do theirs. And you just get rid of that concept. Now, I think it takes a certain strength. I'm not talking about size of biceps or hair on chest.
Strength of character.
Strength of character.
Yep.
To say, this is going to be really tough, this is going to be nasty, this is unpleasant, but it's my duty, so I will do it.
Mm.
That will teach manliness. Irresponsibility goes in the heart of young males. They don't become responsible.
They have to be taught
responsibility.
Shown responsibility.
They have to be shown it.
Yep.
And so when there's no dad around showing responsibility, they don't learn it.
And maybe if dad took off, that's a major demonstration of irresponsibility. So that, not always, but sometimes that can be the case, can't it?
Absenteeism is a really bad thing. I mean, one of my friends was working in an orphanage 30, 40 years ago. And he said there were two groups in the orphanage, really. There were the groups whose parents had died, and there were the groups whose parents had dumped them.
Yep.
And the problems of the second group were infinite compared to the problems of the first group. The first group was sad, they were unhappy, they had to sort through their issues, but grief is easier to cope with than desertion.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, this man has authority, that is responsibility, and he is irresponsible, deserts. It's a dreadful mixture for a young boy to see his father do that.
In the mix of this, what about the redefinition of roles? Because we've seen over decades this massive redefinition of what it means to be feminine, what it means to be masculine. What impact has that had on fatherhood?
Well, it's been devastating because we've got this idea that the parents are just interchangeable, and they're not. Little girls need strong fathers. They need to find strength and love and care in somebody to know what to look for in a husband themselves.
So the way you talk, it sounds like someone needs to be a rock for them.
Yes. Yes, that's a good way of putting it. It's just that security.
Yep.
Security is one of the great drives. You know, if you look at Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, etc., security and significance are two of the great drives, and security is particularly a drive for women.
Yep.
Now, a rock-like father provides a secure world.
Yep. Whatever happens, he'll be there, and he'll be there for me.
Yes, they're the things. They're the good ways of saying it.
Yep.
He'll be there, and he'll be there for me. And nothing changes that.
Yep.
And that's really important. It's like, if your parents don't think you're the most wonderful child in the world, you won't come out to be normal. Of course, you know that's ridiculous, but you need that kind of background just to come out as average.
Mind you, we find it fairly easy to be impressed by our children.
yes, well, sometimes more than others, but yeah, that's right. But it's that commitment which comes. Now, it doesn't have to come from your own biological child.
Right.
But it's more natural that it does, it's more normal that it does, and that's where the subsequent marriages and de factos and ins and outs, you're not going to get that same, normally speaking. Now, some very unusual men do a terrific job in fathering. I don't want to be saying anything here that would discourage them or give discredit. In fact, I'd like to honour them more. They are more honourable than the man who is the biological father and has left.
Yep.
So we don't want to be putting those men down. We want to say, good on you, go for it.
Yes.
But it's being there and not walking away. Not getting out when the going gets tough, because marriage and family life can get tough.
Fatherhood's been confused by all of these cultural pressures. So it's gone wrong in some ways in our society quite often. Yep. What are the solutions? People propose different solutions, don't they?
Yep, they do. I mean, one of the solutions is if you don't like the rulers, let's get rid of rulers. but anarchy leads to chaos.
Right.
That's never going to be the way to do it. What we've got to do is teach and understand authority properly so that you don't abuse the power that comes with authority, but you use the power that comes with authority to be the authority, that is, to be responsible and caring. So it needs a shift in that. But you can't get rid of fatherhood. It's built into the creation to start with. I mean, this is how we come into existence. I mean, you can use test tubes to reproduce, but children of test tube parents have terrific problems in trying to work out who they are and where they are. And there's many a sad story. I mean, it's hard when you grow up as adopted because this desire to find your birth parents. But when you find out your birth parent was number 475 in the test tube...
Where's your identity?
Who am I? Yes. Where do I come from? How do I feel? It's not just, I want to find out if I've got this biological likelihood of having this disease or that disease. I want to know my father.
Yes.
I want to see whether I look like him and feel what he feels like. So you can't actually remove it from the nature of what human is.
But there are people who think we can do without fathers, aren't there?
Oh, yes. But especially if they don't believe in God.
Really, there's a connection.
Oh, yes. So when you look at the child-free zone group of people, you'll find nearly all of them are atheists. Because people who believe in God believe in creation and believe in life and believe in other people's lives. People who don't believe in God really, in the end, believe in themselves.
Right.
And so other people, and life is not, I've got the life, the question is death. I mean, abortion and euthanasia and childlessness have high statistical correlation with atheists.
And I don't know whether you've come across this one. I read a paper by an American psychiatrist claiming most of the prominent atheists in the world either had an absent father or a really bad relationship with their father.
I could believe it, because your perception of God does come in part from your reception of your father. So there's one famous commentator in Australia who's a very keen atheist who came from a family with an absent father because of the war. When his father came home from the war, this man, having as a child waited for his father to return, was deserted by his father. Well, his concept of God and his concept of his father all got muddled up together, and in the books he's written, he's a very famous atheist in our country. You don't have to be Freud to work out what his problem is.
Yeah,
it's screaming.
An atheist friend of mine whose father was committed to the Communist Party, and his entire life is devoted to the Communist Party, and this bloke I know saw very little of his father and had a very distant relationship, and is now a very committed atheist.
That's right. Yeah. So, but fatherhood's not only built into creation. Fatherhood is the nature of God. God is Father.
Right.
Father, Son and Holy Spirit, He is Father. And our fatherhood is a pale reflection of his fatherhood.
So he's father first.
He's
fatherhood
comes.
So it's not a human idea that's being projected onto God. It starts with him.
He is not like a father. He is the father.
Right.
I am like him.
If I'm
as
a father. Yes. Yes.
But and I'm not like him. But he is the ultimate father. So you'll never remove fatherhood because it's in our very way of creation, and it's in the very nature of God. At this point, of course, both Jews and Muslims have some difficulty because they want to limit fatherhood a little bit too physically.
Okay, yep, yep.
It's not that you have sex and procreation that you are a father.
It's because you take the responsibility that you're a father.
Yes, that's right. And God does.
Yes.
And he does. He is our father. And so, therefore, we have a concept of the ideal. And it's fascinating, see, how painful people feel their father's failure is. Now, why is it that so many people who will be watching you and I talking to each other, can be sitting saying, yeah, but my father was awful. My father did this dreadful thing. My father that. My father this. And lots of people did dreadful things to you. What's your problem about your father? It's because you have in your mind what your father should be.
Yes. He fell short of a higher standard than everyone else.
That's right. So my teacher was nasty to me. Well, I had another teacher and another teacher. I had lots of teachers, many of whom were nasty to me. I must say it was nasty to them, to be the truth to be told. But I have one father. And that one father is supposed to be for me, on my side, all the time.
Mm.
If he fails me, then it really hurts. And so when people say, oh, I can't believe in God as a father, because my father was so rotten, I'm saying, no. The reason why you're so hurt by your rotten father is because you do believe that God is father and fatherhood, because you have an ideal as to what he should be.
Hmm. And the real father, in a sense, is still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the kind of father God is, this has just occurred to me, is actually breathtaking. I mean, that's the standard of fatherhood. I love these people so much. What can I do for them? I know I'll die for them.
Yes.
That's fatherhood.
Yes.
That's taking complete responsibility.
For us.
Yes.
Even when we're willful, rebellious and wicked.
Yes.
And so a father takes responsibility even for his rotten children.
Yes, yes.
And cleans up our mess.
We actually will say to our kids, now I don't want you to do the wrong thing, but whatever you do, I'm always going to be here.
Mm.
Whatever.
That's right. Now, I might be there to discipline you.
Yes.
But I'll be there.
Now, for those who are watching now who are fathers, talk practically. What is it that we can do to be the kind of fathers we should be?
Stick with the children's mother.
Right.
Is the first thing. Not just stick with, pour yourself into loving her. Because the more you love the children's mother, the more stable and secure is the environment in which the children grow up.
Yep.
And so you love your children by loving your spouse. This is one of the key things to do. If you're doing that, then you've got to do that first, because your commitment's to her first and your children second. But if you're committed to her and stick with her, then set out to teach your children how to live. By the way you live. It's not that you sit them down with lessons, but by the way you live, what you say, how you say it, that the person you want them to be is the person you've got to be in front of them.
It's good for a young father to stop and think, with the little kids around the place, what I'm doing now is what I want them to be. Ah, is that what I want them to be?
Yeah.
It's not a bad test, is it?
No. And there's minor things, whereas I might be tempted to cross the road in a careless manner. If there are children around, I must never cross the road in a careless manner.
Yep.
It's that sense of
responsibility. It can be as little as simple as that, yeah.
It can be as little as simple as that.
Okay.
And as big as knowing that I want them to go up knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and teach them that. But it's also important to learn how to honour our parents. See, the scripture says, honour your father and your mother.
Right, so what does that mean?
Well, as a child, it means to obey. But as an adult, it means to bring respect to. And as a senior adult, it most likely will mean look after and care and provide for.
Right.
So you honour them differently in different types. And when your parents are dead, you honour them by speaking well of them.
Yes.
And sometimes that means you don't speak much of them because you can't think of much to say. You say, I've come from, my father was a wonderful man. I'm happy to sit and talk about Dad for hours because he was a wonderful man. Someone else can come with a father who's was an embarrassment. Well, it's best not to say anything.
Yep.
But don't
edit it and remember the good bits or whatever.
Yeah, but don't dishonour them by keeping on speaking ill of them.
Yes.
But you always bear their name. So in most of my adult life, I bring honour to my father by living the kind of life that brings him credit for having raised me.
Yes, you bear the name and you show that you are his son.
Yeah, which sometimes means you do things he doesn't want. And that's an important thing, that you don't... Honour doesn't mean you always obey as an adult. Sometimes you work out, no, I've got to do the right thing, even though that's not the kind of thing Dad would want to do.
Yes, he wouldn't have understood that, but I can see it's right.
It's the right thing. If it is the right thing, it will in the long run bring him credit.
Fathering is enormously important. It is a big job because it actually shapes the next generation. So I trust that some of the things Philip said today have been helpful to you, triggered some thoughts in your mind. Talk about it. The chat room, it works if it's the beginning of your chatting, your conversation.